Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 23, going to read verses 32 to 38, but it's from the Passion Translation again this morning, so it's going to sound a little different if you're reading from the NIV or the New Living or the New King James or whichever one you were going to read, so it might help to follow here. It's going to be a little different, but wherever you're going to read, mine is from the Passion. The guards led away two criminals with Jesus to execute all three at the same time. When they came to the place that is known as the skull, the guards crucified Jesus, nailing him on the center cross between the two criminals. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he prayed over and over, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The soldiers, after they crucified him, gambled over his clothing. A great crowd gathered to watch what was happening. The religious leaders sneered at Jesus and mocked him, saying, "Look at this man. What kind of a chosen Messiah is this? He pretended to save others, but he can't even save himself." The soldiers joined in the mockery, offering Jesus a drink of vinegar. Over Jesus' head on the cross was written an inscription in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. Greek was the official language, Latin was the judicial language, and Aramaic was the spoken language. You couldn't make a mistake. There was a written inscription in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. "This man is the king of all the Jews." And all the soldiers laughed and scoffed at him, saying, "Hey, if you're the king of the Jews, why don't you save yourself?" How wicked can we be? "Father, forgive them." According to Luke, those were the first words that Jesus spoke on the cross. But I wonder if you notice that he doesn't address those words to us. He speaks to the Father. For 3 years he's spoken to us, preaching, teaching, instructing, exhorting. But in this moment, as we nail him to that cross to silence him, he speaks to the Father. "Father, forgive them." I think I might have used a few different words than Jesus. Might have condemned. Might have accused. Might have called down the armies of heaven. He might have said, "Look at what they're doing, Father. The injustice, the pain, the blood, the cross." But instead he chooses to say, "Father, forgive them." Even in this moment of his greatest pain and suffering and struggling, Jesus is still living what he teaches on that cross. Can you remember Matthew 5:44? Remember what he said? "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. For in doing this way, you will be showing that you are a child of your Father in heaven." And Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute." But I want you to notice something else. It's a preemptive forgiveness. When he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," we're going right back to the garden. Remember in the garden, God made this garden, put Adam and Eve, and he says, "It's yours." But right there in the middle of the garden, there's a tree, the tree of knowledge. "Leave that alone, because right now you're not ready for that. You can't handle this yet." And then the good old deceiver comes. And he says, "Come on. God just wants to keep all of this for himself. You'll know everything when you eat that. You'll see everything. And we don't know what we're doing. And so we eat." And when they eat, they see. They see their nakedness, they see the shame that they brought on themselves. And they knew one thing, they were naked and afraid. And that's where we got stuck. naked and afraid. We don't know what we're doing until that moment on the cross when everything changes and Jesus prays, forgive them. Because here's the thing. Someone said, when you look at the cross, maybe the first words at creation should not have been, let there be light, but it should have been, let there be forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, there is no new world. Without forgiveness, there is no order out of the chaos. Without forgiveness, there is no life after death. Without forgiveness, there is no reconciliation with God. Without forgiveness, there is no salvation. You and I, as much as we want, as much as we tried, we can't fix that. We can't do that on our own. We don't know what we're doing. The only one that could fix that is God. The only one that could build that bridge is God. And that's what Jesus prays, Father. Because without that forgiveness, where are we? I look at my own life every day. And I have to say thank you, Jesus, for praying that. For every day I mess up and I don't know what I'm doing. But my Jesus prays that. And he still prays that. For he knows my name. And he knows me. And he knows how much I need that as I stand at the foot of the cross. Father, forgive me. And here's the thing about God. God could easily have said, no, Jesus, I gave them a chance. You were right there. They had all the chances in the world. And they chose not to take that. I'm done with them. But he does not. He's the God who starts over. And there on the cross, and Colossians chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters. There on the cross, God gives us a second chance. There on the cross, God wipes that slate clean, says Colossians, never to think about it ever again. Just imagine that for a second. Here's his son. And we nail him to the cross. We scoff at him. We laugh at him. We give him vinegar. We make jokes at him in his moment of greatest pain. And God says, I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to give you another chance. Boy, this God is an amazing God. Old Testament, Hosea chapter 11, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. When Israel messes up so badly and they just don't get it, God speaks to them there in chapter 11 and he says, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I just kick you out the door, Ephraim? That was his pet name for Israel. How can I kick you out the door? How can I make you like those two towns in Sodom and Gomorrah called Admah and Seboim? How can I do that to you? I can't, because my heart burns with love for you. And there at the cross, God's heart burns with love for us. Father, they're killing me. Father, they're nailing me to a cross. Father, they're hurting me so much. And no one says, forgive us, but Jesus who says, forgive them. No one looked up and said, oops, we got the wrong rabbi. Sorry. But the one who's hanging on that cross is the one who says, forgive. He says, give them a second chance. And here's the thing, he doesn't ask for himself. He asks for us. There's a beautiful story in Luke, 10 chapters before this. Luke chapter 13. Praise team, you can kind of come up while I do the last little bit of this because I'm going to need you after this. Luke chapter 13. There's the story where Jesus tells this parable of this farmer. This farmer had this fig tree. And for 3 years, he came to try and find fruit on this tree. Nothing. And at the third year, he says to the gardener, "I'm done with the tree. Cut it down. Get rid of it." The gardener says to the farmer, and these are his words. You can go read that, chapter 13. These are his words. He says, "Master, leave it alone for one more year. And I will dig around it, and I will put some fertilizer." Actually, he uses the Greek word dyskopria, which means manure. "I'll put some fertilizer in there, and let's see if it doesn't bring figs." The word he uses for "leave it alone," that we translate with "leave it alone," is also the word that can be translated "give it another chance." It's the Greek word aphes. And when you listen to Jesus on the cross, that's his exact words. "Aphes, Father. Leave them alone, Father. Give them another chance." We deserve to be chopped down. But Master, they're knee deep in the manure. They can't get out there. Leave it alone. Leave it with me. Give them another chance. And as we stand there, overwhelmed by our sin, and we look up at that cross, hear him. Hear him when he says, "Father, wipe the slate clean. Father, give them another chance. Father, because of me and my blood, forgive them, for they don't know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for washing me white. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me life. Thank you, Jesus, for praying on the cross for me, for each one of us. For we don't know. Thank you for forgiving. In your name we pray."